Welcome to Tardi Macha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rena Foreman, and today I'm looking forward to continuing our study of Kohelet, Perek Bet, Chapter 2. Now, as we enter Perek Bet of Kohelet, we're going to be picking up where Shlomo left us last at the end of Perek Aleph. There, he was channeling Adam's experience after the murder of Hevel. And Shlomo sadly remarks at the end of the Perek, Ki berov chokhma rov ka'as, says, wisdom, it just begets anguish. Yosef da'a, Yosef machov. And continuing and adding to your knowledge base, it just causes machov, pain, sorrow. The pursuit of a chachma, which at the time seemed so promising, it turned out to be a curse rather than a blessing. But there is something new in this chapter in Perek Bet. Rather than giving up entirely in the face of this grim reality, Shlomo decides to conduct an experiment, a systematic experiment. He's going to test some possibilities. He's going to test every conceivable pathway to meaning. Before we dive into the text, I want to introduce a framework that I think can help us understand what's happening here. There's a small book named Ani Kohelet, written by modern-day commentators Rav Yaakov Meitan and Rav Yoel Ben-Nun, and they suggest something that I find really intriguing about the way Kohelet is put together. In a nutshell, they suggest that the seeming contradictions in the text are not flaws to be resolved, as many Mefarshim try to do, but they are, at some level, the whole point. Rav Meitan and Rav Yoel Ben-Nun argue that we're witnessing an internal conversation between different parts of Shlomo's personality, different approaches to the question of how to find meaning in life. Think about it. If you had to find meaning in life, and we all do, what are the options? There are really four basic pathways that we can identify that human beings have always pursued, and Shlomo surfaces all of them. First, let's start with the pursuit of happiness. Declaration of Independence puts it beautifully, right? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, yep, and the pursuit of happiness. Maybe the meaning of life is simply to be happy. The more pleasure, the more joy, the better. Second, there's wisdom. Maybe the person who amasses the most chachma wins. Maybe understanding the world, discerning truth, maybe that's where meaning lies. And who better to test this than Shlomo, who in Sefer Melachim asks Hashem for wisdom, and Hashem grants him more wisdom than any person before or after him. Then there's third, there's achievement. That's a possible path to meaning too. What made Shlomo unique was not just his wisdom or his pleasure-seeking, but his incredible accomplishments. The Beit HaMikdash itself, public works, projects, palaces, gardens, massive building campaigns that transformed the entire ancient world. Maybe meaning comes from what you build, what you achieve, what you leave behind. And fourth, there's religiosity. You could imagine asking a monk or a priest, where is meaning found? And I would bet they would say, follow God, do God's will. That's where meaning lies. So if you read the book this way, Kohelet becomes something like a symphony, a makelah, plays off of the word Kohelet. Different instruments playing different melodies, sometimes in harmony, sometimes competing for dominance. Shlomo, the conductor, he is orchestrating this internal conversation between his pleasure-seeking self, his wisdom-seeking self, his achievement-oriented self, and his overtly religious self. And with all this in mind, let's come back to something that we notice in Perek Aleph. If you recall, starting from like the middle of Perek Aleph, Shlomo adopted a first-person narrative. It suddenly switches to Ani, Ani Kohelet Hayiti Melech, I Kohelet have been king. And this personal quest continues into our Perek, Chapter 2, Perek Bet, where the word I, Ani, appears repeatedly. The point is, these are not abstract philosophical musings anymore. This is someone conducting a lived experiment with his own life. So with that framework in mind, let's watch this experiment unfold as we read the psukim. Amarti ani belipi. Here we see the first voice in Shlomo's internal symphony. But notice how he frames this. I said in my heart, this is a deliberate decision, a conscious experiment. Come now, let me test you with simcha, l'chana anascha b'simcha, u'r'e b'tuv. But he immediately says, v'hinei gam hi hevel, This too was Hevel. That word again, Hevel Faber, the name of the murdered son. Even pleasure turns out to be as insubstantial as breath. Ischok amarti mehulel, l'simcha mazasa. The pleasure seeker quickly realizes the futility. Laughter becomes mehulel, madness. And asimcha, he says, mazasa, what does it accomplish? And of course, this response makes a lot of sense when you remember the context. Imagine being Adam after the murder of Hevel. How much would you really be able to find meaning in life exclusively through laughter, exclusively through simcha, when you've experienced the ultimate loss, the death of a child? How much can pleasure really accomplish when you're dealing with ultimate questions of meaning, when you're grappling with loss and fairness? Laughter, it can seem absurd. And watch how Pasuk Gimel develops. Shlomo doesn't give up pleasure entirely. Instead, he posits an unexpected angle. Tarti belibi. He says, I explored with my heart. Interestingly, that word tar, which means to spy, to scout, it's the same root used for the meraglim, the spies who scouted out the land of Israel. This is not casual experimentation. This is a strategic investigation. And unexpectedly, Shlomo tries for something more. He says, Tarti belibi limshoch bayayin et besari, belibi nahag bechochma, trying to cheer my body with wine while my heart was guiding me with wisdom. He's shooting for two things at the same time. He's attempting to merge two of our four pathways. In other words, what Shlomo was really saying is, can I pursue pleasure while maintaining wisdom? Can I use wine to enhance my happiness while still thinking clearly about life's ultimate questions? And notice the phrase, Livnei Ha'adam. It says, Libi nahag b'chokhma l'chos b'sichlut ad asher e'ize tov livnei ha'adam asher yasu tachat ha'shemesh mispar yimei chayehem. Connecting us back to our narrative thread, he's still thinking about humanity's condition after the fall, after the loss of Gan Eden, after the murder of Hevel. And now the third pathway enters the symphony. Higdalti ma'asai, baniti li batim, natati li krami. Higdalti ma'asai, made great works. The root gadal suggests greatness, magnitude. These aren't just buildings. These are monuments, lasting achievements that will outlive their creator. And the list continues. Asiti li, I made myself houses, built houses, vineyards. Asiti li ganot ufardesim, natati bahem etz kol pri. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of etz kol pri, fruit trees. The word pardes, paradise, echoes Gan Eden. Is Shlomo trying to recreate paradise through his achievements? Asiti li brechot mayim lashko mayhem ya'ar tzomeach etzim. And I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. And even the imagery of water and trees, it recalls the rivers that flowed out of Gan Eden to water the garden. The catalog of achievements continues. Kaniti avadim ushvachot uvnei bayit hayali gam miknetso bakar betzon harbe hayali mikol shayu lefanai b'Yerushalayim. Servants, cattle, silver, gold, singers, material wealth beyond imagination. But notice something crucial in Pasuk Tet. V'gadalti v'hosafti mikol shayu lefanai b'Yerushalayim. I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Yerushalayim. Af chachmati amdali, but also my wisdom remained with me. He's not pursuing these pathways in isolation. Af chachmati amdali, my wisdom remained with me. The symphony is playing multiple melodies simultaneously. Achievement, wisdom, pleasure, all operating together. V'chol asher shalu einai lo atzalti mehem. The ultimate hedonistic experiment, lo atzalti, I did not withhold. No desire went unfulfilled. No pleasure was denied. Lo manati libi mikol simcha, ki libi samach mikol amali v'zayach laki mikol amali. Here's the crucial test. My heart found pleasure in all my toil, for this is my reward. The word amali, my toil, that's familiar. This is the amal that Adam was cursed with after eating from the Eitz HaDaat. B'zayach hapecha tochalecham, it's the sweat of your brows that you'll eat bread by. But Shlomo thought, he could transform that cursed toil into something meaningful through achievement and pleasure. But the moment of truth in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Faniti ani b'chol ma'asai sha'asu yadai uva'amal sha'amalti la'asod. He says, I consider that all my hands had done and the toil had expended. V'hinei hakol hevel. And behold, all was hevel. There's that devastating word again, the name of Adam's murdered son, now applied to all human achievement. Urut rach, and a chasing after wind. You can't grasp wind any more than you can hold on to vapor. Ve'ein yitron tachat ha-shemesh, and there is no profit under the sun. These words appear back in Parak Aleph as well. There, ma yitron la'adam v'chol malosh yamol tachat ha-shemesh. Is Shlomo finished with this experiment? Not quite yet. Seems he feels now it's time for a more systematic comparison. Vaniti ani lir'ot chachma v'hololut v'sichlut. We are about to witness a controlled comparison between wisdom and folly. What does this analysis reveal? For iti ani, shiyesh yitron lachochma min hasichlut, ki yitron ha'or min hachoshech. Then I saw that there is more profit in wisdom than in folly, as there is more profit in light than in darkness. This seems promising. Yesh yitron lachochma. The comparison is striking. Wisdom relates to folly as light relates to darkness. Hachacham, einav berosho, v'aksil b'choshech olech. The imagery is powerful. The wise person can see where he's going. V'aksil, the fool, b'choshech olech, stumbles in the dark, stumbling blind. If you think about hedonism, it's entirely focused on the present moment. How do I feel right now? The hedonist never looks ahead, never plans for consequences. But the wise person thinks about tomorrow, plans for the future, sees the path ahead. So wisdom seems superior to folly, but then comes the crushing realization. V'yadati gamani shemikre achad yikre ekulam. I perceive that the same fate befalls all of them. Mikre achad, one fate. And what is that fate? It's death. Death is the great equalizer. It doesn't matter how wise you are, how much you can see ahead. Death comes for everyone. V'amarti ani belibi kemikre aksil. And then Shlomo says, I said in my heart, what happens to the fool happened to me also. This is the bitter fruit of wisdom. You spend your whole life avoiding the pleasant distractions, focusing on the serious questions, building your understanding. Why then have I been so very wise when death makes it all irrelevant? I said in my heart, this is also hevel. Even wisdom, which seems superior to folly, is ultimately hevel, vapor, as insubstantial as the murdered son's name. Why? The next verse explains. Ki ein zichro l'chachamei maksil. No remembrance. The wise person. No enduring remembrance. Seeing that in the days to come, all will have been long forgotten. Ein zichro l'rishonim. There's no remembrance of former things. Even if you think people will remember Shlomo HaMelech, how many people walking the streets today are actually thinking about Shlomo? Everyone is basically forgotten. V'ech yamud ha-chachamim haksil. How is this fair? How is this just? The exclamation point is almost audible in the Hebrew. How the wise dies just like the fool. The tzaddik and the rasha, the wise and the foolish, they all return to dust. And this leads to the most devastating conclusion yet. V'saneti et ha-chayim ki ra'alai ha-ma'aseh she-na'aseh tachat ha-shemesh. I hated life. Think about this in terms of our Adam narrative. This is exactly what Adam must have felt after the murder of Hevel. Ki ra'alai ha-ma'aseh she-na'aseh. The whole enterprise of living, tachat ha-shemesh, under the sun, was grievous to me. Life seems rigged against goodness. The wise person dies like the fool. The righteous person suffers while the wicked prosper. Ki hakol hevel ruut ruach. All is hevel and chasing after wind. Both obstacles we identified in chapter 1 are confirmed. Nothing lasts and life is unfair. But the hatred, it extends beyond just life in general. V'saneti ani et kol amali shani amel tachat ha-shemesh. I hated all the toil in which I had toiled under the sun. Shani chenu la'adam she'yacharai. I must leave it to the man who will become after me. What kind of person will that be? Mi odea ha'chacham ya'oksil. And who knows whether he'll be wise or a fool? The question must have been particularly painful for Shlomo, if you think about it, because who inherited his kingdom? Rechavam. And what did Rechavam do? He listened to the young fools instead of the wise counselors. He was harsh when he should have been gentle, and the kingdom that Shlomo built fell apart. It split in the days of his son Rechavam. All of Shlomo's achievements, the palaces, the infrastructure, the unity of Israel, squandered by a fool. V'shalat b'chol amali sha'amalti. he will be master of all which I toiled for, b'shechachamti, that I used my wisdom under this tachar shemesh for. Gam ze hevel, this also is hevel. The pattern continues. Everything turns to vapor, and the cumulative weight of these failures leads to despair. The saboti ani liyaish, I turned liyaish to despair. Al kol ha'amal shamalti, over all the toil that I labored under the sun. When all your pathways to meaning fail, when pleasure proves empty, achievement proves temporary, and even wisdom proves futile, what's left? The unfairness becomes even more acute. Ki yesh adam sham alo bo chachma, uvedar ufi kisharon, ul adam shalo amal bo, yitinenu chalko. He says, there's a person who's toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill, and he must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. Adam shalo amal bo yitinenu chalko. Gam zehevel v'ra'abar ba. Here are both obstacles again. Gam zehevel, this too is hevel, nothing less, v'ra'abar ba. This is a great evil. Life is unfair. You work hard with chokhmah and dat and kishron, wisdom, knowledge, skill, talent. Someone who didn't work gets everything. And that's not just meaningless. It's morally outrageous. Ki ma havel adam b'chol amalo v'rayon libo shu amel tachat ha'shemesh. What does a man have from all the toil and striving of heart which he toiled beneath the sun? Ma havel adam, what has a man? A nod back to the first Adam? This seems to connect back to our narrative thread about Adam's experience after the fall. Kol yamav machovim, v'ka'as inyano gam b'layla lo shachav libo. It says all his days are full of sorrow. When you're wise enough to see clearly what's coming, death, unfairness, the temporary nature of all achievements, gam b'layla lo shachav libo, even at night, can't sleep, can't rest. Wisdom becomes a curse because it robs you of the blissful ignorance that might allow peaceful sleep. Think back to my three-year-olds. Didn't have an easy time falling asleep. Weight of the world on their shoulders. And now we're at rock bottom, lowest point, and here comes something very unexpected. Ain't tov ba'adam shiochal v'shata v'ra nafsho tov ba'amalo. Shlomo says there's nothing better for a man than he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. Gam ze ra'iti. That's what I've seen. Wait. Gotta be kidding. After all this despair, Shlomo suggests that maybe the best approach is just to eat and drink and find some joy in your work. Seems like a retreat to simple hedonism. But notice the framing. Gam zera'iti ki biyad ha'elokim. He says, this too I saw was from the hand of God. This is not just giving up and pursuing pleasure. This is different. This is recognizing that perhaps simple contentment, jiochal v'shata, eating and drinking and finding some satisfaction in your daily work, might actually be miyad ha'elokim, a gift, a divine gift, rather than a failure. After this, Shlomo makes a complex observation about divine providence, and he points out that what he sees is another layer of unfairness. He says, Hashem gives chokhmah and da'at and simcha to those he favors, not necessarily to those who deserve it most. Those who please him. Meanwhile, somebody could be working hard only to have everything taken away and given to someone else. And of course, Shlomo, he himself was someone who, in the words of the Pasuk, shetov lifnei ha'alokim, who pleased God, which is why he received wisdom when he asked for it. But this divine favoritism, as Shlomo is seeing it, also seems arbitrary and unfair to him, like Hevel and chasing wind. So where does this leave us at the end of Perek Bet? We went through with Shlomo his systematic testing of every conceivable pathway to meeting. Pleasure and hedonism, gam zehevel. Wisdom, ra'iti shegam zehevel. Achievement, hakol hevel ruach. Even divine providence, gam zehevel ruach. The symphony of potential solutions has crashed into discord. Every instrument in Shlomo's internal orchestra has tried its melody, and each one has proven inadequate in the face of life's twin obstacles. Nothing lasts, and tzadik v'ra'lo, life is fundamentally unfair. This is Shlomo at the end of Perek Bet. But it is not the end yet. This is not the end of Kohelet. This is still the problem-setting phase. Shlomo is laying out the experimentation, showing us the scope of the challenge. And when someone has tested every conventional wisdom and found them all wanting, when they've pursued pleasure and achievement and wisdom and even divine service and found them all ultimately inadequate, that's when real growth toward meaning in life can actually begin.
Today's study is dedicated by Helen and Moshe Sassover.
in memory of their beloved father and grandfather, Ted Orden, Mordechai Ben Ephraim, and Miriam Golda, in commemoration of his 10th Yahrzeit. His family is forever grateful for his devotion to family, vision, courage, and optimism. May the merit of our collective learning elevate his neshama and bring unity and peace to Klal Yisrael. Thank you for the opportunity to study together.